So with your hands up, it be in your seat or up in the altar, I want you to just pray and say, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Speak to me. And I want you to say it out loud. Repeat this prayer. Lord Jesus, I know your power. I know what you're able to do. Speak through Pastor. My heart is listening. My mind is attentive. By your work, clear my mind, clear my heart, because today will mark the day that this church and my life were radically changed until your return. I receive it and I believe it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. You praise God. Come on, man. Check it out. Check it out. Look at what God has done. Amen, amen, amen. All right, all right, all right, all right. Let's get back to work. Let's get back to work. Let's get back to work. I got to watch y'all. Y'all will keep me up here all day long. I need a break. I need a water. I need an oxygen mask. I'm about to turn 50. You could all go back to your chairs. You may be seated. To those watching online, thank you for connecting with us. We bless you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for connecting. For our brothers and sisters that for any health reason cannot be here today, we got you covered and we love you. And we're thankful for what God is doing. Just know that a day like today, while you're home, the house of God barely has seats available because it is jam-packed once again. They told us that there would never be in Catawba County a multicultural church with 26 nationalities and 6 languages. They told me I lived in the South and you can't mix black and white and Hispanics. Well, we mix black, white, Hispanic, yellow, green, orange. You could be a Martian, you're still welcome in iChurch. It is true that you can't put them all together and they're happy because everybody has a different mindset. So what we did is we changed it. We're not here to make you happy. We're here to teach you how to serve the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's not about you. It's not. Look at your neighbor, say it's not about you. Let me ask a question real quick. I'm going to teach something. Does anybody here love Jesus? Can you imagine for a second Jesus visiting your house? I mean like hanging out. You imagine that, Wes? Debbie's birthday was this week, right? Did you get her a good gift? You did. You better have got her a good gift. What did you do? You let her take a nap. All right. You cheapskate, you. I got you. Every man take notes on Wes's gift. You know, and here's the funny thing. Now, you imagine that for your birthday, Jesus physically, I'm not talking about like emotionally. I mean, you imagine Jesus Christ showing up, knocking on the door. You open the door. He's standing there with his robe, and he says, what's up, Wes? And you open the door. I mean, I want you to think about that. Alex, you imagine that, man? Like, you're always like bougie dressed and all that, right? You're like our GQ guitar player guy, right? And you always, you see, I see you, well, I mean, like, you'd be dropping off your vest. You'd be like messing up your hair. You wouldn't care. You'd be receiving him. I think you'd be going crazy. Negrito, oh, man. Oh, man. Negrito means black. Pastor, you making fun of him? No, that's his name, black. That's literally his name. Literally. So negro, black, you open up your door at the house. You got a beautiful house. You open it up, and your white wife is behind you. And when you, I just had to point that one out. Pastor, why? That's the beauty of iChurch. It all mixes. We don't care. You're like, Pastor, how come you guys could joke about it? Because we stopped getting mad at it and we started loving every single culture that surrounds us. We embraced it. Y'all still hooked up on it. We passed that. So you open up your door, and black is here, white is behind you standing. And then Jesus walks in. I think white when she sees Jesus standing at the door, white faints and turns black. And I think black gets so scared he turns white. Yo, we don't really, if you're visiting and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I get you don't know what I'm talking about. But people who have had a relationship with Jesus Christ, to think that Jesus would physically show up and hang out with you, and then he says, yo, Wes, I'm gonna stay here for 3 years and hang out with you. Wes is like, 3 years, I'm sure you wouldn't worry about putting on your taxes. You wouldn't worry about, you'd be kicking your kids. And forget your kids. You and your wife will probably go to the bedroom and leave your main master bedroom for Jesus. True or not true? He's first, man. You're grateful. I'm grateful. Jesus will be taking over, man, right? Now imagine him hanging out with you, Marlon, 3 years, Jesus, in your house. You, Jesus, and Aisa. That's it. Aisa, you wouldn't even know Aisa was there because Aisa would be every minute next to Jesus. I know that woman. But yeah, you'd miss Aisa. You'd be like, Aisa, I'm still alive. She'd be like, shut up. Jesus is here. That's how it works. That's how it works. True or not true, church? You'd be now. This is just a side note. No, let me not go there. Hold on. Let me behave. I want to behave. Listen. Let me behave. Can you guys take a hit? You guys take a hit? Okay. There's only like 50 people I could take a hit, so that means like 600 of you are going to get hurt. But it's all right. How come Jesus has to show up physically for you to stop everything and pay attention to him? You should be living a life where you're saying, yo, shut up, I'm with Jesus. But anyway, okay, that's just separate. But then Jesus hangs out in your house 3 years, right? He's with us. Jesus is coming to this church 3 years and hanging out. And I know some of you are thinking, well, I think Jesus is already here. Guys, just come on. We're talking in a figurative, physical sense, right? He shows up and he's in the church. Now watch this. And all of a sudden, after he's hanging out with us, Jesus says, Sarah, I've been with you 3 years, but yo, I gotta go. What would be your reaction if Jesus is in your house and he says, I gotta go? Now, normally we think I'll be obedient and I'll say, okay, Jesus, depart thee. But most likely, I think the majority of us would be like, I don't know about you. I'm just gonna talk about me. I throw myself at his feet. And I'd be like, no. See, some of you like are all composed. I'm not well composed. I'm not too eloquent. I'm just a stupid Puerto Rican hillbilly. That's all I am. That's all right. Yeah, I'm okay with that. I'm not intimidated by that. I love that fact. Pastor, why would you call yourself stupid hillbilly? Because just the fact that I know that I'm stupid and I do such great things, I know it's got to be God. It can't be me. So I'm okay. See, people fall into depression because they feel they're nothing. I don't fall into depression because I know I'm nothing. You missed that. See, you say I'm not. You suffer. You say I'm not nothing. Nobody loves me. Nothing. Right. That's great. Why? Because you're still alive and you're still doing things, and it's only because of the mercy of Jesus Christ that you're able to do what you do. God gets the glory. Somebody shout, God gets the glory. So Jesus shows up and Jesus says, Yo, Carlos, yo, Sarah, yo, Alec, I gotta leave your house. See, I'm not composed. I'll drop to the feet. I'll be like, Jesus, why? And he says, because it's good for me to go. Some of you already know where I'm going. He says, because it's good for me. Listen, I gotta go. Now, I don't understand why he's leaving, but he understands why he's leaving. That's what he told the disciples. John chapter 16, verse 7. If you're here and you say, why do they talk so much about the Holy Spirit? Because Jesus understood the importance of the Holy Spirit. And if I love Jesus and he understood the importance of the Holy Spirit, why the heck would I not want to embrace what Jesus understood? John 16, 7. Look what he says. Nevertheless, ESV. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Watch this. I tell you the truth. It is for your advantage. It is for your advantage. It is for your what, church? That I what? Go away. Jesus is saying, I've hung out with you, but it's good for you that I leave. It's convenient. Jesus knew we would be better off if he left. Now, that doesn't make any sense in any world, because this is the guy that heals people. This is the guy that walks on water. This is the guy that does miracles. Why would I be better off if he left? Well, the Bible says very clearly that Jesus said, it is good for you. It is better for you. It is advantageous for you that I go away. Watch why. There's only one reason. For if I do not go away, the helper, the person who's really going to help you, what? The person that's really going to help you. Pastor, you saying Jesus didn't help us? I'm saying that Jesus, God represented or showing up as Jesus does not make him omnipresent. People don't like acknowledging that, but Jesus knew that principle. Jesus knew that he couldn't be in Galilee and in Judea and in Puerto Rico and in Hickory, North Carolina and in Charlotte at the same time. And he knew what was coming. See, Jesus knew ahead of time that there'd be some crazy folk in Hickory, North Carolina that gathered up from all the county and go to the building and start worshiping him and start searching for him and acknowledging him and honoring everything he did. But because Jesus knew that was going to happen ahead of time, he said, I can't be in Jerusalem and I can't be there at the same time. Why? Because that was not his function. Now, God is omnipresent, but Jesus Christ on earth did not show up in every time at the same place. Jesus also knew he was doing miracles and he was doing the work, but he understood in great leadership, oh, there's good for leaders out there, in great leadership, he understood that if everything depended only on him and not the greatness of those that surrounded him, there was a limitation to the expansion of the miracles. That's good stuff right there. So all good leaders know that it's never about what's in you, but about the greatness of the people that surround you. Oh, come on, I'm preaching a good sermon right here. So Jesus Christ says, it is good for you for me to go. It's good for you. Because if I don't go, your helper doesn't come. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, but if I go, I will send him to you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, we should be imitating Jesus in everything we do. My desire is to imitate Jesus. Because Jesus represents a smart, anointed Spirit-filled man that knew what to do. Jesus is saying, guys, it's good for me to go because I'm not omnipresent, but when I go, instead of you walking with me, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and he will walk with you. He will be in you. He will go wherever you will go. He is omnipresent. See, Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit, who is still me, the Holy Spirit is able to be omnipresent. He could be in Jerusalem and Judea and Galilee, and he could be in Hickory, and he could be. See, Jesus knew that. Jesus knew that you were going to do greater things than he had done. And he's saying you will do. He said it. He said you will do greater things. You will see miracles. So I got a goal to send. Jesus Christ was honoring the Holy Spirit and understanding the power of the Holy Spirit. There's another portion in a Bible study I taught this week, how Jesus Christ says that lying and blasphemy of anything is forgiven except blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Again, Jesus understands the importance. So Jesus understands the importance. See, the Holy Spirit is not just power, guys. It's not just power. Holy Spirit is much more. We cannot explain what Holy Spirit is in a sermon. You say it's a person. No. See, look, wind has power, but I don't worship it. A river has power, but I don't worship it. A tree could give me a shadow, but I don't worship it. See? But God is more than a tree, more than a river, more than a wind. He's a person. And that's, and in my knowledge, because it's the highest level of creation that I can think of, I say he's a person. But the Holy Spirit is everything manifested of God here on earth. Everything. He lives. He breathes. The Bible says he gets sad. It says he gets sad. Holy Spirit has feelings. Pastor, no, he doesn't. Yes, he does. They're always good feelings, but he has. And it's illustrated in our lives. And you could sadden him. So Jesus understood that principle. Isn't it, and I don't know if I got somebody who could be real with me for a second, but isn't it terrible to give advice, and this is good for all the parents out here, but not just parents, even for the youth out here. You know, all the parents in this room, say amen. Okay, watch this. I just want to identify you. It's not that you agree with me, I just want you to identify with me. You can't agree with me because you don't know what I'm about to say. But isn't it a terrible thing to be a parent and know what's best for your kid? And you tell your kid how to solve the problem. It doesn't matter what age he is. He could be 24, he could be 6. You know what's best for him, and you're telling him, listen, this is what you need to do. And you give him the tools to fix the problem. And isn't it terrible when he ignores it and he gets hurt in the process? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody have a kid that you've lived that with? You know, I remember once Pastor Josue, my eldest son, we had a glass table, and I remember he used to climb, and it's funny because his little boy now climbs everything. And And it's my grandson. He's a climber. And what Pastor Josue doesn't know, because he doesn't remember, and nobody could tell the story but me and his mom, Pastor Josue was a climber. And I don't know if anybody had those climbing babies. I know Jenny has a climbing baby. When I talk about climbing baby, I'm not talking about somebody who gets that. No, I'm talking about the kid climbs anything. I mean, there's no mountain too high that the child cannot climb. The kid's a freaking climber. We have to be watching him. And then we had our first grandchild who's not a climber. Our first child is a dancer. That's what he does. He dances and worships. The second grandchild, he's a climber. So he climbs everything, right? And he's always climbing. You got to be what? You turn your head for 2 minutes and he's good. And then I remember Pastor Josue climbing on our glass dining table. It was a four-chair tubular that cost $69.99, and it had a glass table and it had legs. I remember because it was the first table I brought, and I was dead broke, and I was believing God for prosperity and leaving everything. And I remember barely making it. I wanted my wife to be impressed, but it was black and it had gold little ends and corners on it, but it was so fragile. Have you ever bought one of those dinette sets that are just like you touch it and they could fall? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of you too rich to know what I'm talking about. But you know, you sit down and you put the plate of food, and while you're eating, it's shaking, and you can't even grab the food. You know what I'm talking about? You sit in the chair, and the chair kind of goes quonk, just a little bit sideways, and then every so often some of you are laughing. Some of you are poor as I've been, right? Right, so some of you are there right now, right? I know it's there. Yeah. So I was recently married, and I remember that. So this little boy would get on this fragile glass top, and he would climb on it, and he would get it, and I would always catch him and say, "No, Josue, get down." No. I knew what was best for him, and I knew how for him to be safe, but he would not listen to me. Isn't it terrible? Have you ever had a friend that you give advice to, and you say, "Lo, listen, maybe this week you told somebody, yo, this is going to solve if you go to church." Maybe you have a husband or a wife. Maybe they're sitting next to you, so just look straight at me. You don't have to breathe or look. But you give them advice, but they will not listen to what you're saying, you know? Not listen. I come from an Indian Spanish descendant. My dad is Indian. He's Caribbean Indian. They're called Taínos, is our native Indian culture. My dad looks like an Indian. He walks into the building and you see him and you go, how? Because you think he's an Indian. He's very Indian. My dad just turned 80. He does not have any gray hairs on his head. It's crazy. He just turned 80. He's got that Indian attitude. Yesterday, I was like, "Dad, he's coughing," and we sent him to the doctor, and he's coughing and coughing, and we did an x-ray, and we're checking. His brother has lung cancer, so everybody in the house freaked out, and they told him he needed to do an x-ray. He didn't want to do an x-ray, and he finally convinced him. He did an x-ray. I go home, and I'm like, "Dad, what happened?" And he grabs like that. He lifts up his shirt, and he has a belly, right, a small belly, but he's still ripped on top. Indian people, like, they rip the rest of their life. He lifted up, and he says, "Look at this, baby. Look at this." He says, "I'm 80 and I'll whip everybody's butt in this room." That's that attitude, that Indian attitude, right? And I have that Indian descendant in me. Their skin is beautiful. And then I have my mom. My mom is Spanish descendant. They come from Spain. And the Spanish descendant, they're white Hispanics. White, white, white. So when you think I'm making fun of your white people, you're wrong. I'm a white people too. Right? She's white, white, white. Like, my grandfather had blue eyes, blonde hair. You're like, "No, I've never seen a Hispanic who's blue." He's blonde and blue, blonde hair and blue eyes. All right? And he's white, white, white. And my grandma was white. She's from La Provincia. That means you're out from the country. And my mom has little freckles that you could barely see. She's a Puerto Rican with freckles. It's a beautiful thing to see. Yeah, you could do Pippi Longstock and things and everything. And here's the thing with her race. When you mix those races, you end up, it's like taking a German Shepherd and taking a Chihuahua. That's me right here. That's me right here. You end up with what we call in North America a mutt. Yes, I'm a street stray dog mutt. That's what I am. Now I get the best out of both races, and I get the worst out of both races. And my wife keeps on giving me advice. She says, "Honey, you're going to turn 50. I'm going to turn 50 May 3rd. Everybody remember that date? Jot it down. It's important. To those taking notes, you could take notes. May 3rd is my birthday. Okay. To those visiting are saying, "Did he just ask for a birthday gift?" No, you just pray for me. Because if you ask yourself that question, you should just pray for me. That's all you should do. But my mom, as she gets older, and some of you are going to relate to this, you start having old face stains. And they have a name scientifically, but I told you I wasn't too smart. And you get those stains, right? And I'm getting wrinkles and stains. My wife says, "Honey, your stains on your face, You have to wear this cream, and there's cream number one, there's cream number two, and there's the cream for the morning, and there's the cream for the night, and there's the cream during the evening, there's the cream at afternoon. There's too many creams for me. You got to make it like dummy proof for me. It's got to be like, here's soap. That's it. That'll take it away. You got to make it dummy proof for me. So my wife has all these creams, and I won't listen to her. And then I started listening to her, and the stains started disappearing, right? They started disappearing. And I'm like, look, it's working. And she's like, ah, because you listen to me. Then I stop using it, and guess what? Stains are back. But I'm not worried about the stains coming back. I don't want to look over there because she's sitting there. I'm worried about her because I'm not using the cream. So she tells me every day, right? Isn't it a terrible thing to give advice to somebody and give them the tools to fix the problem, and they will not use it? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary to give us the Holy Spirit as a tool for your life. And it's a terrible thing that he gave you the tool and you sit there ignoring every day of your life and not using it. Though, come on. You should be praising right now. Yeah. You're worried about the child that doesn't listen to the parent. You're the child. He's the parent. And he gives you the tools and you won't pay attention. Ignoring the Holy Spirit is one of the worst things we could do, guys. It's one of the worst things we could do. We have the tool to fix the problem, but we won't. Let me teach you something real quick, all right? Let me teach you something. For those jotting down, let me teach. I'm going to teach for a while. Okay, two crucial moments that you need to understand doctrinally. This will change pivotally. This is going to change pivotally the life of a lot of people, what I'm about to teach. Some of you know this but don't have it clear in your mind, so pay close attention. Some of you could master this and probably teach me on it. Let me teach you what I believe the Holy Spirit is revealing for your life and for mine right now. Have an open heart. Listen to this. Two crucial moments where you receive the Holy Spirit. Say, Pastor, that's not a doctrine thing. Listen to it. There's two crucial moments where you have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. There's two. There's not one. There's two. I was taught all my life there was one only. Then there's other doctrines that call it a second blessing. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in a second blessing. I believe that there's two encounters that you're going to have with the Holy Spirit. Pastor, is that biblical? Yes, it is. I'm going to break this down for you. I'm actually going to move over because I did something so you could jot this on screen, and I want you to take notes on it because somebody's going to debate you on it. But don't let people debate you because they debate you. Let people debate you because they could prove it biblically. If they can't prove it in Scripture, if you're listening to a word that doesn't have to, it's so funny. There's so many preachers out there online and so many people. Some of them, like, they don't even use the Bible. I don't know who you're listening to. Be careful who you're listening. Look at the person next to you and say, be careful who you're listening to. Like it's just, if they get likes, that's it. You're listening to them. Like, oh, this person's got 15,000 likes. You pay for likes if you want to. You got to be careful with that. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. I'm going to show you how it's so clear in Scripture, how there's two different moments of baptism in your life. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. It says, I baptize, I'm going to read it first and I'm going to teach it. I baptize, this is John the Baptist. He's speaking. And he's saying, this is the guy who started baptisms, all right, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, before Jesus Christ. He says, I baptize you with water of repentance. I baptize you with water. What does he baptize him with? And the baptism of water comes because of what? For what? Repentance. Because of the repentance, I baptize you in water. People who repent get baptized in water. Next Sunday we have Baptism Sunday, and the people who are getting baptized are people. And I'm gonna make a special calling out, and I'm gonna mess up our education department. Sarah, jot this down. Denise, I know you're watching online. Watch this. If you're here and you have not been baptized, or if I ask you this question, you can't answer it. I was baptized years ago, Pastor. Were you discipled before being baptized? Did you have full understanding of the atrocities of your sin when you got baptized? If your answer is no, I was not discipled. Or if your answer is no, I did not know back then the atrocities of my sin, then you need to be baptized. And what you need to do is you need to run to information desk when this service is over, or you need to go to somebody in the leader, one of our shepherds. Every shepherd in this, all my shepherds, stand up for a second. All shepherds, not my shepherds, iChurch shepherds. Here they are. There, there's a couple. There. There's one back there, over there. Okay. You run to one of these people. You just saw them. Run to them. Thank you, guys. You run to them after service. And you say, I need to be baptized because you need to be discipled. And check this out. Even if I have to do it myself, Sarah, if somebody signs up for baptism today, I will baptize them next Sunday. And I will make sure they get discipled in 1 week. I will sit with them if I have to every day, online or on the phone. Pastor, why would you do that? Because there was a day when I pastored a church of 10. I've done this 11 times. I would go every day. I'd go to house of people to disciple them. And somewhere down the line, We have to be careful that our systems are not so important that they become more important than people. If you're here and you gave your life to Jesus Christ the last two Sundays, you surrendered, you and your family are coming. The Bible says you repent from your sins and you are baptized. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, I'm way off my sermon. Watch this, but it's okay. Why? Because today we don't have Spanish service. That means we can stay here till 3 o'clock. Visitors just got nervous. We're not staying here till 3 o'clock. We're not. We're only here till 2 o'clock. No, I'm kidding. Our Spanish service is at 5 o'clock, by the way. If you ever want to see a Spanish service with Spanish songs, I mean all original Spanish songs, you got to come back at 5 o'clock. Even if you just come for worship, then leave. It's a party. It's crazy. All right? It's crazy. It's really good. All right? And you could support and pray over them while they're in service. All right? But where I'm going with this is baptism. The Bible, Jesus says, go and make disciples and baptize them. You make disciples and you baptize. The process is you get discipled, then you get baptized. And the baptism, according to Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, is that you are submerged. You go back, and that's your old life. So you're standing here, and you're like, you're sitting in the water, and you're saying, this is my old life. Boom, die. I don't want you anymore. And then when you come out, the drips of water falling off of you are a symbolism of your declaration of faith where sin is no longer with you. You get up and you come out of that water and you're a new being in Jesus Christ, ready for a life of victory. That's what baptism is about. So if you're here and you say, Pastor, I need that in my life, or my son needs that, Pastor, I need that step. I need to get closer to God. Baptism of water. And in the baptism of water, listen, in the baptism of water is a symbolism of your faith, where you said, first step before baptism, Lord Jesus Christ, be my Savior. Now, if you're visiting or you've been in church for a while or you backslid or you left church or you've been drifting around, this is for you. Everybody else, pay attention. After this, you will sit in a service for the next 25 minutes where I will be speaking a word that the Holy Spirit is going to give you to understand, but it is probably not for you. Because one of the few times on a Sunday morning, I'm speaking to the older people in the body of Christ. That's who I'm really worried about today, all right? But before I go there, I'm speaking to everybody at this level. Listen, if you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, if you die today and don't know if you're going to heaven, it's not about me. I'm going with you or without you. Pastor, that's mean. That's cruel. It's real. Listen, youth in here. You think you're being saved because mommy and daddy brought you to church? If you don't surrender to Jesus Christ, you're going into eternal condemnation. You need to surrender to Jesus Christ and say, God, because if Jesus comes, your parents are going to heaven. You're not. You got to surrender to Jesus Christ. If you're here with your son or your daughter, they invited me. You need to surrender. And after you say, Jesus, forgive me, you are my only Savior, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, when you say that, then you receive salvation and then you're baptized. Okay, now, I'm explaining doctrine of salvation. People will be saying, Pastor, why are you going so simple? Because I have a conviction in my heart this year that the gospel is not complicated. We overcomplicate it. Jesus did easy things. Jesus was like, let the children come to me. Confess me as your Lord and Savior. It was really easy steps. Jesus gave easy steps. We complicate it too much. You confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are baptized. That's the baptism of repentance. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, and I taught this on video last week, and I'm going to review it just in case you were falling asleep or texting while my video was on. Ephesians 1:13 says that when you profess your faith, you are included in heaven. When you confessed your faith, it says, then at that moment you were sealed. You were what, church? With the Holy Spirit. That's what Ephesians 1:13 says. It says you were sealed. I know production's going crazy. Like, he's mentioned like 10 verses. He didn't give us any of those verses. Chill. It's all right. They're jotting it down because they're going to look at it at home. I'm going to go to my sermon now. Okay. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's the baptism it's talking about here. John is saying, I baptize you with water for repentance. That's when the Holy Spirit is in you, not in the water. No, it's a symbolism. When you converted to Jesus Christ, you were sealed. Those that were in Bible study, you know exactly what I'm talking about because you walked out of here Tuesday saying, that was a good Bible study. That Wednesday saying, that was a good Bible study. It was deep. When you convert to Jesus Christ, you are sealed. He comes on you. He makes you his. He says, you're mine. From that moment on, you receive salvation because of the sacrifice. Without Jesus, we got nothing. But because of Jesus, now you have salvation and the Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit is what? In you. So the baptism of water is a symbolism of the Holy Spirit, what? In me. When you baptize, you're declaring publicly, I have the Holy Spirit in me. I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Now follow me doctrinally. He says, I baptize you with water of repentance, Spirit in you. He's going to come in you. But watch this. But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He says, somebody's coming after me. He will baptize you, watch this, with what? With the Holy Spirit and fire. Look at the difference. Now, when I'm baptized in the water, okay, watch this. I go down, I come out, old life, I confess the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior. He lives in me. From that moment on, I live with the Holy Spirit in me. But there's one that's going to come, baptism, the water. Watch this. He says, Pastor, why doesn't he mention the Holy Spirit there? Because baptism, the water is outside. Watch, follow me. Baptism, the water is outside. Then John says, but the guy coming after me, you already have the Holy Spirit in you, but the guy coming after me, he's going to put the Holy Spirit outside of you. Some of you are like, I didn't get that, Pastor. Hold on. I'm going to teach you in a minute. The same way, see, when I dunk people in the water, they don't drink all the water from the pool. They go down, come back up. I've had a couple who drank a little bit of water. All right? I had one lady who started kicking when she got into the water. It's an instinct. It's an instinct of survival, I guess. I don't know. They go down, no matter how much security. I tell them, I'm going to bring you down and bring you right back up. They think I'm going to leave them down there. The lady started kicking. She was like kicking and going like that. And then I had a rookie trying. I had one of my trainees trying to train, and they went down, and the woman started kicking. So the woman went down. The problem is your feet go up in baptism. The woman started kicking, and she's kicking in the water like that. The more you kick, lady, the more you drown. At that point, the disciple got scared and was going to bring him up, and I was standing next. And as soon as I saw they were bringing him up to save him, I put my hand and I dunked him a little harder. When you're with me, I'm going to baptize you no matter what. You're going under. Because the truth about it, as soon as you go under, the instinct is to get right back up. That's a lesson. As soon as you go under, in God, your instinct is to get right back up. She raises up. But the water's outside. John is saying, I baptize you with water for repentance. That's one baptism, a baptism of water, a baptism of repentance inside of you. But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. What's going to come on you, like the water, it's the same thing. Now he's going to put the Holy Spirit on you, and it's going to be fire. So he's talking about what many call baptism of the Holy Spirit. Pastor, why don't we use that term? We're going to use it. After today, we're going to start using it. But I'll tell you why for 28 years I haven't used it. Because baptism of the Holy Spirit has been so misinterpreted and so manipulated. People say baptism of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. That is not true. You may never speak in tongues in your life. That doesn't mean you haven't been baptized with the Holy Spirit. People say that's one symbolism of it, but that's not of it. And you shouldn't aspire just to speak in tongues. That's not. Now, if you have that gift, glory to God, amen, the Holy Spirit can use you. You could do it. You could speak angelical languages. You could have the gift. I feel I have the gift of speaking in tongues. There has to be an interpreter if it's done publicly, and if it's done privately, it's me, the person, the Spirit of God, and it's for self-edification. I'm not going to go there. That's a whole another sermon. I'm just giving that for people who've been in church long enough so you know what I'm at. So baptism in the Holy Spirit, that phrase has been so misconfused, but it's still in the Bible. See, there's a moment I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit, and then there's a moment that the power and the fire fall on me. Now, both are power. Both are power. But there's two. John's saying there's two different baptisms that are occurring. And he says, in the second one, now, this is what John's saying. I can't give you the second one because Jesus Christ hasn't died yet. And until Jesus Christ doesn't die and forgive your sins, you can't receive the Holy Spirit. So I can't give you that one. But when Jesus comes, he'll be able to give it to you. So what he's talking is that there's a Holy Spirit, and I want you to look at this. There's a baptism of water, which comes when you repent and you're saved. That's John's baptism. And you are sealed inside of you, so the Holy Spirit helps who? You. So when I convert to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit becomes my Google. He becomes my guide. He tells me what to do. He helps me. But when you convert, listen up, when you convert to Jesus Christ, now listen to all folks in church, when you convert to Jesus Christ, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit guides you and speaks to you. And shows you sin and leads you and teaches you. But here's what the Holy Spirit does not do at that point. Empower you. Pastor, what? No, it gives you power, but it doesn't empower you. I don't get it, Pastor. The power is only for you. So let me explain this. The second moment you're going to encounter the Holy Spirit is when you get the baptism of fire. That's after Jesus. What is that? The Holy Spirit is going to come on you, forgive you works. The power of God, power, is going to come on you, not in you, on you, okay? Holy Spirit on you for everybody. For who? Others. Pastor, what are you saying? Pastor, are you saying that it's possible to be a believer that converted to Jesus Christ and is sealed with the Holy Spirit and has power, but the power is only selfishly for in and never for out? Yes. And I believe the majority of Christians in society today, especially from a Calvinist background, we live, including myself, believing that the power of the Holy Spirit is in me, and that's enough. That's selfish. And then we want to be great moms, and you want to be great dads, and you want to be... You know what really divides? See, the musician, watch this. I'm going to use an example. A musician converts to Jesus Christ, receives the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lets him know how to play. And he plays. Powerful. Miracle. But then you have another guy who has to have that. You have to receive the Holy Spirit first, but has not received the power of the Holy Spirit outside. He only has it inside. This guy, you know he has it outside because when he plays, it's dripping. He's playing, and you're like, oh, did you hear that? Oh, my gosh. The anointing falls off the person because it's outside. It's not inside. You with me, church? Anybody learning something so far? Okay. Can I go a little bit deeper? Okay, I'm going to prove this to you because I'm teaching you what John said. And you're like, well, that's John. You're talking about Holy Spirit in two different ways. Now, some people ask me, Pastor, can it all occur in the same moment? Of course. He's Holy Spirit. He does whatever he wants. It could occur whenever. But what I'm afraid of is not teaching this because they taught us this doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Spirit that means speaking in tongues, and it's an emotional outburst. And because many churches teach that wrongly, we avoid talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I have been guilty for 28 years. And I have to say this and be very careful because I'm very emotional about this. I'm very broken about this last month. I have lived ashamed of saying that phrase, baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I would not use baptism of the Holy Spirit because it's so perverted. But then God told me something. God told me, do they call you pastor? I said, yes, God. He said, but there's a lot of perverted pastors out there. And God convicted me of that. Are there many gods out there? I said, yes. And they're perverted. They're wrong. But you still call me God. He says, why would you not speak what it is according to Scripture? It's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. So, Pastor, are you saying that I can live? When you have the Holy Spirit in you, baptism of water, repentance, saved, the Holy Spirit equips you. Your equipping is so strong. Watch the power of the Holy Spirit. It is so strong, it could minister to other people. Watch, please pay attention. This is the most important part, probably of the whole thing. It is so strong inside of you that the change will touch the people that surround you. But watch. But that's level one. I'm trying to get this church to understand a whole different new dimension. Pastor, what's a whole different new dimension? It's not just bursts of you that minister to others. But there's a special anointing that falls from the Holy Spirit on you, and you receive fire and power. Here, let me give you a put the emblem, the logo for the empowerment series where the windmill is there. Put that up for me. There you go. I taught this lesson to my daughter Daniela. When I taught it to her, I'm teaching her. She looks at me. She says, I got something. She goes. She comes back. She drew this up. She comes back. She says, I got it. I go, what is it? She says, check it out. She shows it to me. And I stand there looking at it. I'm like, cool. First step, Spirit inside of you. Second step, the power, which is where we are today. He gives you ability to do, supernatural ability. Now, from here, there are going to be bursts of you that help you. You have been in prayer. God has told you what to do. He has given you words of counsel. It happens here. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. But this is a supernatural pouring where it has nothing to do with you. Where you didn't even participate. You're here, you're in the front seat and people see you. Here you're in the back seat and the miracles are greater. See, here you pray for healing. Here they're healed. It's a whole different level. Here, you speak the word of God. Here, the word of God speaks through you. It's different. So she drew this, and I said, cool. She says, it's like a windmill after you taught it to me. I'm like, why? She says, the windmill is standing there, and it has a lot of potential. But until the wind doesn't hit it, it has no power. When the wind blows and hits that and it starts turning, that wind, now don't get me wrong, that windmill right there. If it rains, it has power. I could sleep in it and I won't get wet. There's nothing wrong. Don't underestimate the power of converting to Jesus Christ and being sealed with the Holy Spirit. Don't do that. Just like don't estimate the step before it, the power of Jesus Christ. Don't do that. But what I'm saying is, when the wind hits it, now it's not about the power it contains within, but the windmill is producing power for others. You guys following me? Church, you still with me? Still with me? Okay. Pastor, you're going doctrinally. Let me prove this to you, scripturally. All right, because scripture is more important than me. Okay, so there's a baptism of fire, baptism of water. I think they're both baptisms of the Holy Spirit, but one is of water, of repentance, and I'm sealed. One is of fire, and it's for supernatural power. This one gives me power for me. This one gives me power for others. Pastor, why is this so important? Listen to me, please. Whatever you're struggling, right now I'm teaching you scripture and I'm going down Sunday school and some of you are bored to death. But listen to me, even though I feel I have attention of 99% of the room. But listen to me, the reason this is important is because you are limiting yourself on the potential and the ability to minister to everybody that surrounds you. And I'm trying to teach you that God wants you to walk in 2023 with a new realm of thinking. You're like, Pastor, I've been baptized with fire. Are you using it? Are you living in it? Are you letting it flow? That's what I'm teaching. Look, I'll teach you how in scripture what I'm teaching is there. Acts chapter 19, verse 1, Church of Ephesus. Watch this. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. Where did he arrive? Ephesus is going to be one of the centers of major revival in all scripture. It's going to bring the gospel all the way to us, right? That's another story. Watch this. There he found some disciples. What did he find? Everybody. What did he find? Were they disciples or not? Watch this. And asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Key question. He says, did you receive the Holy Spirit? He didn't ask him if he repented. He didn't ask him if they were sealed. He asked them if they received the Holy Spirit. That's his question. They were disciples, but they had not received the Holy Spirit. They answered, no. We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Check this out. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? They say, John's baptism, which is of water. They replied. Paul said, John's baptism was baptism of repentance. That's what he says. You repented and I baptize you. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. That's what John taught. John said there's somebody big. He's quoting Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 that we just read. Verse 5. On hearing this, they were baptized. Some people say they were baptized in water. I don't believe that. I believe they were baptized in the Spirit. They were baptized in the name. Some people use this, and I'm sorry I'm going to get really nerdy here, but this is for somebody who's going to contend with this doctrine. He's going to say, oh, see, he baptized them again because the first baptism wasn't good. I'll catch you on my next verse. Don't worry. You sit there pretty with that one. I'll catch you in the next one. But on this verse, that's not what occurred because it wasn't a baptism of water. But if you say it is, all right, then it is. I'll catch you on the second verse to see what you're going to say in the second one. But here it goes. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. What he's saying is, you already have John's baptism. Let me give you Jesus, which is fire and spirit. Okay? When Paul placed his hands on them, this is why I don't think they were in water, because it says what he did. It never says he took them to water. It says he placed his hands on them. The Holy Spirit came, what? What did it come? Doesn't say in, right? They already had it in. Paul, this is what happened. Paul came and said, you got it in you, you got it in you, you got it in you. You got, oh my gosh, I'm a pastor, I'm a preacher. They don't have it on them. You need it on you. And he laid hands. And they said, we want it. So we want, because wanting it is the most important part of it. Satan has us so confused in Christianity, nobody's wanting it anymore. We want the power of God. We don't want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is the power of God. So we're not calling out to it. So Satan has us blinded. So watch this. He does that. All right, Pastor. But I still think in that case, they were baptized again because they weren't converted. All right. How about these guys? Because even though I said disciples, you want to contend with me? You say, Pastor, I'm not contending. Let me just give you this in case somebody else comes to you. But let me finish that verse six. Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. They started doing, watch this, supernatural acts on behalf of God when the Holy Spirit came on them. They weren't just being edified for them. After they received, watch this, when they were here, they were disciples. They were learning. They were learning. When they received the power of the Holy Spirit, they were teaching. See a difference? Here, it was for them. After the Holy Spirit, it was for others. Pastor, what's your concern? That we're trying to serve others only on this side. If you serve them with this, you're missing out on the true power. You're a windmill, and this is what you're doing. You're having burst where you grab the little thing and you go, hah! And because it turns, it produces a little bit of power. And you're saying, oh my gosh, well, I saw this miracle. No, you're not seeing major miracles and you're not seeing more works and you're not seeing more financial prosperity because you haven't gotten this. On this one, you never touch the windmill. The wind blows and the windmill flows through the power of the Holy Spirit turning to produce power inside of you. All right, watch. Pastor, but I just think these guys were disciples. They were rebaptized. Acts chapter 8, verse 14. When the apostles in a whole different place, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria, not in Ephesus now. So some people say it's the same place. No, it's not. It says that they're in Samaria. Had accepted the word of God. Okay, what happened in Samaria? They had what? What they had done? Did they convert? Yes or no? Yes, very clear. They sent Peter and John to Samaria. Here come these troublemakers again. When they arrived, they prayed for the who? Were they believers, yes or no? In disciples, you may say they were disciples, but they weren't believers, which I cannot understand. But people use that to manipulate not believing in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They say, no, they got it for the first time. No, they were on their second round because they were disciples. But how about these guys? These guys, the Bible says very clearly they were new believers. It says it very clearly. It says that they had believed, they had converted. And you're saying, well, they converted, but they haven't received the Holy Spirit because Jesus just died. I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 1:13 says that when I convert, I am sealed by the Holy Spirit. I cannot change that doctrine. When they converted, when they believed, they were sealed. Okay? They were sealed. But they had not. They had it inside for their edification, but not outside. Watch this. Verse 15. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now, if you say, Pastor, it says receive very clearly. The word receive here, jot this down, is called lambano. Lambano means they were poured upon. That's what it says. Lambano means when it says they received, our translation should say he prayed for them and there was a pouring of the Holy Spirit on them. Look how funny this is. Miracle, pour it out. Do you really believe in the pouring of the Holy Spirit? Because what you're really saying in that song is, pour on me right now. It's just like Christians singing. It's funny. I watched it the week I was sick at home. I watched four sermons simultaneously. And I was watching churches that don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit singing. I saw that. What's the Holy Spirit? Not. I think it's Break Every Chain. It talks about the Holy Spirit. Is that it? Holy Spirit, you are come and flood. And I'm like, y'all Baptists, you can't sing that? Like, Pastor, you got something against Baptists? You can't sing it because you don't believe in that. You believe you're sealed, one and done. It's finished. The Bible says there's a flooding that has to occur after, a pouring of the Holy Spirit. Okay, now watch this. Follow me, all right? These guys, they receive, they're poured on lambano, the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read it again, verse 15. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive, they might be poured on by the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on. The Holy Spirit had not yet come what? On. Doesn't say that it didn't say they didn't come in them. It was already in them. Part one had occurred. Part two had not occurred. So the disciples catch that, and they say, we're going to pray. You guys have already converted to Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray the Holy Spirit. So, Pastor, what is your big concern? Why are you focusing so much on this? Why are you trying to teach us this? I'm afraid of a generation of believers, including myself, that receive the Holy Spirit and have been sealed with it, but you're not living in the full potential of the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe this church, I'm going to testify this. This church opened up 9 years ago. Next year, we'll complete 10 years of iChurch. 10 years. We're going to celebrate it big. 2024. Now, August, September 2024, we're going to throw a party for 2 months. It's going to last 2 months. Two-month party of celebration of what God has done. Here's my fear. And I'm going to show it to you guys. Right now, there are barely chairs available in the sanctuary. Your pastor, the church is growing. The biggest growth of our English-speaking church, the biggest growth. They told me I couldn't do it. That we'd have a Spanish church, not an English-speaking church. The biggest growth of our English-speaking church, the biggest manifestation occurred 2022. You know what 2023 was all about? Focusing on the Holy Spirit. When we stopped pushing the windmill, and we said, come power, it happened all by itself. You're here today because the Holy Spirit has worked in your life for you to be here because he has a purpose with what he's doing in your life. He's ready to push your marriage. He's ready to, listen, the Holy Spirit is trying to reach you because all your life you have lived knowing that there's something greater, but you keep on falling short of it. And I'm showing you how to tap into that. Some of you say, Pastor, I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they taught you wrong. They taught you that it was an emotional moment where you spoke in tongues. If you're speaking in tongues, is the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know what's wrong with that? Do you understand the connotation of that? When you speak it in silence, it's for self-edification. You're back at step one. If you speak it in public, there has to be an interpreter to be wowed by the power of the Holy Spirit because that had nothing to do with you. That's the problem with it. It's one manifestation of it, but it's not the man. It's diminishing the power of what the Holy Spirit does. What is it, Pastor? You walk by, you took your daughter. I'm going to pray for you. And I have the power of the Holy Spirit to do this. Healed. And you walk away. And she healed. Here's the problem. Pastor, I prayed it didn't get healed. You're so worried about you getting the credit of the healing. That's the problem. You're supposed to pray and walk away from it. Pastor, what if I pray and they die? You're already messed up. Why? If they pray, they died. Did they know Jesus Christ? Yes. If they don't know Jesus Christ, present Jesus Christ before you pray for healing. Why? Because if they die, they're healed. If they live, healed. You never lose. Your job is just to believe. The problem is you're standing there, and this is what you're doing, praying and wanting it in the moment your way. It's not about you. That's this one. This one is about you. This one has nothing to do with you. I'll show you another example, because in healing, you guys struggle with that one. Here's another one. Your child or your husband or somebody is far from God. Somebody you love is really far from God. Here, you're teaching them the word, right? Here is when you know you could do nothing more because you've done everything, and every single person listening to me, pay attention. You will find yourself in this place one moment or another where you have nothing left inside of you, and you've tried everything you can, and you're hopeless, and you know nothing. You call out and say, Holy Spirit, I can't, but blow yourself and pour yourself on me, and let this happen. I'm waiting for a miracle, and I'm going to believe in your miracle. I can't do it, but I know you can. So you do it. You do the work completely. You restore him. You bring him, because I know it's going to happen. Somebody know what I'm talking about? Somebody say another level. It's another level, man. That's what it is. God already showed me a vision this past week. I dropped to the floor, and God showed me a vision. We probably have the largest Hispanic church in the state of North Carolina. And we should be so proud of that. Because most churches have a little itty-bitty Latino group in a corner. Here, they're equals to us. We should be proud of that. But I see so much more potential for English to grow. And I've seen visions of what's going to happen. We're not going to, I was going to say, we're not going to fit in a couple of years in this building. We probably won't finish the year not fitting in this building. We're going to have to open up a new service. And I have the design in my mind of that new service just in case. It's like this service will be more like we started the service. The morning service, I think, is going to be more like this. Doctrinal teaching. I'll come back to you later on that. God's just leading me somewhere. God's still working with me on it. It's a work in progress. But where I'm going is that God gave me a revelation. I said, okay, God, so Latinos made it to their max because you normally reach in a church, you normally reach 0.1% of your population. Great churches that I admire, like Elevation Church. I don't care what you talk bad about them. Spend your time talking about Satan, not about other churches. Love other churches. Stop hating. Doesn't matter. If they're speaking Jesus, they're not. If they're not against us, they're for us. Stop it. Bless them. I don't care if they're called First Baptist or if they're called First Pentecost or First Methodist. If they're preaching the Word of God and the doctrine, just bless them. That doesn't mean I'm going to sleep in bed with them. So, you don't get that one. Don't worry. Let me stay away from that one because I've gone way too long. Listen. What I'm saying here is that in the process, I looked at Spanish and God spoke to me and said, who finished with Spanish? I said, God. Great churches like Elevation and New Spring, they reach approximately 0.9% of their population. Our Hispanic church has, check this out, 9%, not 0.9, 9% of our Hispanic population. I said, that's a miracle right there. That's a miracle. I'm not going to find more Hispanics. God said, you never found the first ones. God said, I'm going to bring them from every county that surrounds us to this church, and I'm going to double it in size because it's not about you. He said, it's not about you. It's about how I'm going to restore their lives. Then it hit me. I was focusing on this one. I'm pushing the windmill. Somebody here is pushing the windmill of your marriage. I'm ministering to you, bro. Somebody's pushing the windmill of your marriage. Somebody's pushing the windmill of your ministry. Somebody's pushing the windmill of your finances. I have nothing wrong with this section. I think it is crucial. And I think it's needed. And I think it requires effort. You must build the windmill under the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. But there's an empowerment. There's a power, a given ability to receive things that you would never be able to receive on yourself. Every church assembly we do once a year, I do it because I like reporting to the church everything. We're in a transparent book here. There's a room that has our finances, how much income came in, how much expenses went out, where it went. Pastor, you guys share that every single detail with anybody who is a member of this church. We do it. We clearly outspeak it because you shouldn't hide anything. You have to be transparent. You have to be transparent. Everything goes out, all the information, and we celebrate how many people got baptized, and we celebrate. We say blank people and blank people and blank people. And we give all these numbers this year. That's what we're doing. I said, you know what we're gonna do? We're not gonna talk about this. We're gonna put this on paper and hand it out. I just want to have a church assembly where people start giving testimonies of what God did supernaturally. That's what I want to hear. I'm not saying that the person getting baptized and converting is not a supernatural act. It does have supernatural burst of it. But what I want to hear is what happened right before the baptism, right after. More important than the number is the person. And my heart's gone there, guys. And I believe that when we as a church get there, oh, guys, you have heard me say, get ready, get ready, get ready. I am telling you, iChurch Hickory, get ready, get ready, get ready for the biggest revival you have seen. Miracles, get ready for transformation, get ready for prophecy, get ready for healing, get ready for reaching the world right from this corner. Somebody's got to get it. No. Okay, no, sit down. Now, when you get excited, I want you to know, don't get excited for your church. Pastor, why? Because you are the church. Get ready, because God's going to use you in that process. I said God's going to use you in that process. All right. Let's keep on reading. Where did I drop off? Acts chapter 8, verse... I'm going to go from 15. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they may receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They needed the on. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received lambano, it poured on them. The Holy Spirit poured itself on them. See that? How it poured? Okay, now I'm going to teach something really cool here. Watch this. Watch this. All right. John chapter 20, verse 19. What I'm about to teach now would require 2 more hours. Lacking it, I'm going to break this down. Literally, I'm going to break this down, this lesson, in less than 5 minutes. But you have to pay close attention. So everybody who has conditions like me, deficiency attention disorder, just focus. If you have a good spouse next to you, say, just pinch me if I fall. Just pinch me. Watch this. Okay. The best illustration in all scripture of the 2 encounters with the Holy Spirit and the difference between them is Jesus Christ with his disciples. Watch it. Watch it. John chapter 20, verse 19. Everybody follow me on this. Everybody, computers, you got to follow me on the key with this because everybody needs to read from the screen if they're not jotting down or reading from their Bibles. Preferably the screen because I'm going to ask you to jump in every now and then. Watch this. John 20, 19. On the evening of that, what church? First day of what? Which was what? Sunday. On the evening of the first day of the week, Sunday. Last day, 7, Saturday. First day, 1. Watch. Watch. So when did this occur? It's talking about Resurrection Sunday. If you read at home, you're going to see we're talking about Jesus Christ being crucified. On the third day, watch this. When the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders killing them the way they killed Jesus, Jesus came and stood among them and said, now this is right after he dies, right after. He says, peace be with you. What does he say? They didn't have peace. They had lost it. I want you to understand this. This is very, very, very profound theologically. You're going to walk out of here way more smarter than you walked in, I promise you. And it's not because of me. It's because of what the Holy Spirit told me. The disciples were with Jesus. When Jesus died, they lost their peace. Did we believe in the right guy? Was he the Son of God? He died, but he hasn't resurrected. When he shows up, Jesus says to them, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. He's saying, look, I'm the guy that was crucified. What he's saying is, I resurrected the third day. At that point, the lack of peace, watch what happens. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. They were what? Over what? Joy. Pastor, why were they overjoyed? You guys don't have this Bible verse. Look it up. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. I believe I'm quoting the right thing because I know it from since I'm a little kid. I hope I got that one. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Put that on screen for me. Find it. Watch this. Pastor, why is this moment important? Because the disciples are converting. Pastor, that's a blasphemy. How are you? The disciples were walking with Jesus. How can you say they're converting after he died? Because they can't convert. You got to convert according to Romans 10, 9. There's a condition. Watch. If you declare with your mouth, they did that when they had overjoy, Jesus is the Lord, and believe in your heart that God, everybody, what? Raised him from the dead. The disciples couldn't convert because he had not died and resurrected yet. You following me? You guys with me? Come on, that's deep. That's deep. I thought the disciples were Christians because they were walking with Jesus. They were Christians, follower of Christ. But they were not converted for salvation. Why not? Because Jesus had to die and then resurrect. Because you can't convert. You can't receive salvation unless you confess him as resurrected. Jesus shows up on the third day and says, guys, yo, chill. You guys are not believing, right? Check this out. Wah! Wah! And they're like, oh, he did it. He did it, my boy. Jesus Christ resurrected. We believe. They converted. When they converted, watch what happened right after. You guys ready? Everybody's ready? Say ready. Watch this. Watch this. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. Because you guys believed. As the Father has sent me, I am going to send you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, what did he say, everybody? Receive the Holy Spirit. Pastor, what is that? Step number one. Put up my steps again. Step number one. They believed. They repented from their lack of peace. They believed God. They were sealed. Holy Spirit was received. And they, in the moment they believed, They received the Holy Spirit and they were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Oh, Pastor, that's not the second one? No! How do you know it's not the second one? Because he's saying, I'm going to send you, but then he says, yo, chill out. Don't go yet. Watch. Jesus says, you are sealed. Don't try to do ministry because you're sealed. Jesus says, don't do that. You need something bigger. So you're going to stay here, and then in a couple of days, I want you to go to Jerusalem. Something's going to happen in Jerusalem. The disciples were sealed and converted. Now watch this. I'm going to jump because of lack of time. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. After his suffering, he presented to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was what? Alive. Now, the same thing he did in John, he's doing, but now he's doing it to a crowd, to a lot of people, right? The people are converting, right? Now watch this. He appeared to them over a period of how many days, church? Is it the same day of Sunday? It's way later. Way later. They received the Holy Spirit, and way later, on a separate date, watch this. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Oh, that's powerful. He spoke about what? What he's telling them is, watch this, the kingdom of God is like, he already did that. He's doing it again. Now in resurrection, he's showing up saying, guys, the kingdom of God is like a man who owned a piece of land, and he gave it, and he left, and he gave one guy 5 talents, and he gave another guy 3 talents, and he gave 2 talents, and he gave another guy 1 talent. The guy who had one, yeah, Pastor, he didn't do that there. He did it when he was alive. He did it when they were alive, but they lacked the Holy Spirit. Now they had the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit was going to make. That's why Jesus always said, you don't understand it now, but you'll understand it later. What he's telling them is when you get the Holy Spirit. So now the disciples are doing this. Watch, this is the interaction. Jesus is like, there's a man. This is what Jesus is saying. There's a man who owns a land, and he has 5. And Peter's going, you gotta be kidding me. How come I didn't understand that before? Jesus, because you didn't have the Holy Spirit. You guys are like, but Pastor, I understand it. Exactly. Exactly. And if you're sitting here saying, I have no idea what he's saying. Exactly. 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 Either you have it or you don't. If you have the Holy Spirit inside you sealed, it reveals things to you. It admonishes you. It gives you conviction of sin. It tells you things you didn't understand. So he's equipping them to go do the work. He's equipping them. Right? He's telling them how it's going to happen. He's telling them how to do kingdom of God, how to do a church here. He's telling them. Okay, 40 days he talks about the works. Watch this. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Now, they already were sealed with the Holy Spirit on that Sunday. Watch this. He says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gifts. He's saying, don't go. I sealed you with the Holy Spirit, but I don't want you to go do the work yet. Hold on and wait for the gifts my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. I talked about them for 40 days about the kingdom. I talked about miracles. I talked about you praying. I talked about your son coming to Jesus Christ. I talked about your marriage getting healed. I talked about your finances. I talked about your ministry. I talked about you prophesying. I talked about you preaching. I talked about you singing. I talked about all my manifestation of the Holy Spirit. I talked to you about that, but don't move yet. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, oh Jesus, thank you. We owe so much to Jesus. We owe so much to Jesus. The fact that Jesus would suffer so much just so he could say this. He's so proud. He's saying, but in a few days you will be baptized. You will be what, church? With the Holy Spirit. John had already baptized them. And he's saying, disciples, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days. Then you're going to have power. Watch this. Verse 6. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, look how ignorant. Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Is it now? Are you going to make the kingdom happen? Watch his reply very carefully. He said to them, watch. God, are you going to do what has to be done in my marriage? God, are you going to do? Listen to his reply. He said to them, it is not for you to know the time or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. There will be a moment everything will be clear. There will be a moment, there's going to be a day when God's going to reveal himself and there, all the work is going to be done. Verse 8, what's the first word in verse 8? On the count of three, everybody. 1, 2, 3. But. He says there's going to be a moment that God, Matt, I'm speaking to somebody, pay attention. There's going to be a moment that God's going to fix everything in your life. But, in other words, in the meanwhile, Pastor, what do I do? You will receive, until God fixes it, you will receive what, church? You receive what? Power. When the Holy Spirit, everybody, comes on you. When will you receive power? Not in you, on you. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you're going to receive supernatural power to do. Right now, you've been struggling with something and you don't know how to come out of it. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, it's a whole different ballgame. You want to see your ministry explode. You want, what I'm saying is you do something and the Holy Spirit gets behind it. And boom, he does it for you. He finishes it. It's a supernatural move of the Holy Spirit that occurs in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you have one and you don't have, if you have them in you, but you have not, and you've struggled all your life, you're like, I know there's something bigger. I know something, it's called on you. And when the Holy Spirit falls on you, it's going to occur. Some of you already have it. Some of you already have it. But the fact that you have it, what worries me is that you have it, but you're still trying to work that way. And I'm telling you, you're at another level. So if you're here today, number one, if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you because you haven't confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, accept Him today. Be baptized. And I'm, again, go to information desk and say, Pastor challenged me to be baptized. I'm going to take my step right now. I want to be baptized this Sunday. Pastor Carlos said he'll do it. I'm going to sign up. Watch me go, baby. And then number two, you were sealed because you converted and you're edified and you've seen flashes of power of God. You may be there. You may need today to cry out and say, Holy Spirit, baptize me right now. That's good, but I'm ready for my next level, Pastor. And you pray for the Holy Spirit to come over you. Just pray. And Pastor, what do I have to do? Pray. Ask for it. Pastor, but what do I have to do? What's the five? There's no five steps. If you've already converted and you were baptized and you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, the next step is just to pray. Pastor, do I have to speak in tongues? No. Do I have to dance? No. Do I have to lay hands? No. You stand there and you say, Holy Spirit, from now on, I'm going to honor you, acknowledging what you can do, and I'm going to stop doubting. Holy Spirit, here I am. And it pours on you. And from that day on, things click and things change. When you get desperate, I got to do. This new person says, no. Holy Spirit's going to do, watch. I did my part. Watch him do his. I'm going to step aside. And then you start, here's the most important part. Oh, this is good. Thank you, Jesus. You start testifying what the Holy Spirit did. Watch this. Be real. Don't be fake. How many people right now, are willing, and I'm gonna send for a microphone, are willing right now to come running up and tell a testimony of a supernatural miracle God did in your life and tell it publicly right now? Raise your hand, the people that are willing. Okay, stop. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. All right, lower your hands. Want to see something? Want to see the Bible lesson taught? Watch this. How many people here could testify and say, Pastor, I saw God work in my life really strong. This year, there was a moment that I know it was God in a supernatural way. Just raise your hand. You don't have to testify over a mic. Raise your hand. All right, now watch. Look, no, keep them up. Look around. I'm not going to count them. Over 300 people have hands raised. Lower it. Pastor, what's the problem? God works and we're not willing to tell about it. Pastor, I'm afraid of a mic. God wasn't afraid of doing the miracle. We're afraid of a mic. What I'm trying to tell you is that we need to testify what God has done. We need to speak about it more. Now, I'm almost done. All right, I'm almost done. I'm talking about the baptism and the presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm speaking to a mom right now. I know some of you think this is spooky, but this has nothing to do with me. A mom who's been praying for her daughter and been asking for a miracle, and she doesn't understand why it has to be the way it looks. And you want to fix it, mom. I know you have the power of the Holy Spirit, but you're pushing so hard in your own strength. And you needed this message for me to speak to you. I could call you out by name if I wanted to, and I shall not. Pastor, why? I need that to believe. That's not believing, honey. I'm teaching you that if you come here, Holy Spirit, just baptize me, pour yourself on me. You're gonna hear soon that the work was done and you did not move a finger. God did it all by himself. I believe that over your life, Mom. I believe that. Now watch. I gotta finish. I gotta wrap this up. I know you wanna get home. And I wanna be respectful of that, and I thank you for staying a little extra today. I want to be respectful of you. And I know I've gone over. But today's First Fruit Week, and we normally don't have services this long if you're visiting. But I have to get this out because I believe that today iChurch is taking a shift on the way it's working. And I believe that God's going to change us from us doing the work to seeing a supernatural move of God. And if we have seen in 9 years over 1,000 people come to Jesus Christ and convert and stay in the church, which is what we have in membership now, I believe we're not even seeing half of what God's about to do in the next season. And there's a change to come. But I want to finish with something for you. And I'm a little scandalous, so just follow me here for a second. It's planned. All right? I promise you, anybody falling asleep is going to wake up now. Verse 8. You with me? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. See, you're going to go to all these places and you're going to be used when the Spirit comes on you. If it doesn't come on you, it's not going to happen. It needs to come on you. See? Baptism of water seals you for potential. You have potential, but you have potential with no power. Valley of dry bones. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Elijah. Do you see? Will these bones resurrect? And it speaks to the prophet. I'm sorry, speaks to the prophet. Will these bones resurrect? And Elijah says, check it out. Elijah says, I don't know. Ezekiel 37. He says, I don't know if they're going to resurrect or not. He says, can I resurrect these bones? He says, God, only you know. And he says, prophesy. He doesn't say, teach him. He doesn't say, educate them. He says, prophesy. Now the guy, watch this profound guy. The guy is doubting if the miracle could occur. But even though he's doubting if the miracle could occur, even though he's doubting it, God says, your job is just to believe. Prophesy it. I'm going to say that again. Your job is just to believe. I'm going to say that again. Your job is just to believe. So he opens up his mouth and he prophesies. And the Bible says that the dry bones, the wind hits it. And when the wind hit it, they start raising up. That's Ezekiel chapter 37. The bones start coming up, right? Now, the bones had potential. When it was prophesied and the Spirit came on them, potential became power. You have a lot of potential ideas, but what you're lacking is the power. Let me show it to you again. It's one thing to be in, another thing to be on. Give me Christian Michaels, come out here. This plan. Christian Michaels, come out here. Christian, if you're backstage or if you're on the stage, there you are. Come over here. Just jump up here and stage with me. Give me some water. A lot of these things, I'm going on the flow. So just bear with me, okay? Just bear with me. And thank you for doing this. First of all, before we do anything, right, I want to thank you and I want to thank Nathaniel. Will you guys give it up for these two young men that are willing to do this for me? Now, if you're saying, now, this is the end of my sermon. I'm going to illustrate everything I've taught you. I'm going to illustrate it to you for now. Okay, now, why are you applauding? This young man, both of them, they're called to be pastors, both of them. They feel calling. And they've been under my mentorship, and I've been working with them for a while. He was going to be, he wanted to go to medical school, and thank God he's not going to become a doctor. And he wanted to become a physical therapist, right? And there's nothing wrong with becoming a doctor. We need doctors, and we need physical therapists. And I thank God for, we have a couple of doctors in our congregation. I thank God for you, and we need them both. But they both broke at one point, and they just something broke in them, and they can't fix it. They can't fix it. They're like, I'm not happy no matter what I do. All I want to do is serve Jesus Christ. Just so you guys know, iChurch has 100 youth every Friday, and out of the 100 youth, we have approximately right now 17 that feel called to ministry in one way or another. All right, 17. Now, watch this. Watch this. This young man already started his seminary degree. And he's studying, and he's trying to pay it, and God has been providing supernaturally for him every day, right? So, I'm not trying to give him props. Well, actually, yeah, I'm giving them props because this is Pastor Cardo's teaching them how to be pastors. Some of you are going to walk out here and say, I can't believe he did that. I'm teaching them how to be pastors. You be you, let me teach them. Because I have seen a lot of pastors graduate from seminary and have crappy churches that are not spreading the gospel. I want men and women around me to be surrendered to Jesus Christ and be all about the restoration and the salvation of every soul that surrounds them. All right? Okay. Give me a bottle of water. A bottle of water. Come over here. Come over here. Come on. Watch. Watch this. Watch. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. And we're winging this. Just go with me and bear with me on the moment, okay? The Lord Jesus Christ, I know you're nervous, but you watch it. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, and he resurrected on the third day. People thought it wasn't going to happen, but he resurrected on the third day. When he showed up, he showed his scars and his wounds, and they said he resurrected. And the Bible says that if you confess him, if you confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you say Jesus died and resurrected on the third day, if you believe that in your heart, and you believe it in your head, and you could speak it through your mouth, the Bible says you will be saved. All you got to do is say, God, forgive me for my sins. And I know you already did this, but we're play a role with me here, okay? Okay. All you got to do is say, God, forgive me for my sins. I'm messed up. If you're here today and you have not made that decision, make it today before you leave. I'll give you a chance. I promise you. Don't walk out of this room without making it. Your heart's pounding right now, and you want to convert to Jesus Christ. In fact, I'm sorry. I'm going to go with the illustration in a minute. If you're here right now and you're saying, Pastor, and there's one, because I know there's one person that their heart's pounding right now. You say, Pastor, I want to ask forgiveness for my sins. I'm not going to call you up front to the altar because I'm in the middle of a sermon and a list. But if you're here and there's just something the Spirit's leading me to right now, and you say, Pastor, I need God. I need salvation in my heart right now. I want to accept him as the Lord Jesus Christ. I want him to be my Savior. What I want you to do is just raise your hand real quick and say, Pastor, that's me praying for me. Okay, I got you. I got you. I got you back there too. Anybody else? Anybody else? I'll give you a moment. I'll give you a minute. God bless you. I was waiting for you. You're the one that God was, your heart's pounding, right? Your heart's pounding, brother. I felt it from up here. I felt it. God bless you. Receive salvation right there. Receive salvation right there. Okay. Don't underestimate it. Some are way more wise than others. I see you. I see you, buddy. I see you. Okay? I see you. Now. If you're visiting, you say, what the heck just happened? In you, out of you. You just saw it. You just saw it. To the people that just raised their hand, when you leave here, go to VIP room over there in the glass doors and say, I raised my hand today. Pastor, I already did it. I don't care. Just go. Stop being apologetical. Go straight there and say, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. All 8 of you. And surrender. Say, right now, I need somebody to pray for me. That's it. I'm ready. I'm doing whatever it takes. I'm going to walk for Jesus. Go to the VIP room when you're done. Somebody's going to pray for you. All shepherds report to that room when we're done. Okay. All right. Okay. Now, we're going back. You saw 8 people do it, right? Okay. Do you believe Jesus Christ is a Savior? And do you believe that he resurrected on the third day?
Yes, I do.
He accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. In the moment you accepted it, the water is the Holy Spirit. Drink a little bit. There you go. Where is the water now? You got it? Everybody got it? You got it? It's in there. You convert. You ready? You converted Jesus Christ? You did it a while back, right? Do you believe he's in you? Amen. It's in him. Now watch this. Now watch this. Take off your shoes. Nathaniel, go backstage. Go backstage. I'm going to call you out when I need you. Okay. I'll make you feel better. Come on. Yeah. All right. No. Stop. Is Holy Spirit still in him? Yes or no? He converted Jesus Christ. But it's in him. Now, he goes to church. Watch. Say, miracles, miracles. Hey, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hey, miracles. Walk in the water. He's got it. You see it? Kick a little bit out to the front row. Just kick a little bit. There you go. Pastor, what is it? He's experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit outside of him. You saw it? When he was here, sealed. Now it transfers over here. Okay, now it transfers. Yeah, come on. Okay, now it's inside of him. And inside of him, when he's near people that are, the flow of the Holy Spirit is there, he could feel it. He could experience it. It's around him. See, you got it. Come on, he's not ashamed. You feel it? You got it? That's why church is so good. See, because you are walking in the Spirit. Go ahead, take a stroll in there. He is walking in the Spirit. He has the Spirit in him, and he's walking in the Spirit. But Nathaniel, come on out. Bring it. Help Nathaniel out. Now, that's one phase he's in right now. He has the Spirit in him, all right? He has the Spirit in him, right? And he walked in the Spirit, all right? Now, are you ready for a pouring of the Holy Spirit on you?
You already know the answer to that. Yes. I'm ready.
All right, wait, no. I want this more than just be an illustration, because he's about to get that. Why do you want, I mean, seriously speaking, why do you want more? Do you really want, just be real with me. Do you really want, does Christian Michaels really want more of the power of the Holy Spirit in his life?
Yes, because when I was down and when I was out, and when I said I'm at the end of my rope, God said, my grace is sufficient for you. And God said, in your weaknesses, I am made strong. And God died on the cross for me 2,000 years ago. He will not stop my calling. He's on me, he's in me, he's outside of me. He will show himself.
Anybody getting a word from God? Anybody understand what we're teaching today? I say miracles and you say?
Miracles.
I say thank you God and you say?
Miracles.
I say pour it out and you say? Miracles.
Miracles.
Pour it out.
Pour it out.
Thank you Lord.
Thank you
Lord. All
right,
now stop. Stay right there standing. Musician, keep with me. Okay, now. We think we're done, right? No. Check it out. I wasn't supposed to get wet. But I just couldn't be hypocritical. I can't be standing somewhere where the power of the Holy Spirit is pouring and I just step out of it. I want to be part of it. Does anybody here want to be part of it? Now, I'm going to teach something. My homeboy's wet.
Yes.
I'm wet.
Yes.
We are drenched. My homeboy is dry. Now watch this. Watch. I'm going to show you something. There's a powerful lesson. Watch what I'm about to teach you. Before him getting wet, if he hugged them, that's sweet. Step number one. It's still love, potential, with no power. Now that he's drenched, I want you to casually go over there. Just hug Nathaniel really strong. Wait. Wait. It looks like you're a little wet now. When the power of the Holy Spirit has been poured on you and you come close to people, the people around you also get ministered and they also receive power. Anybody, can anybody say power? So what happens? Both of you now have power. You both received it. So I'm going to give you a dream of your life. I'm going to let you jump down to that first row, and I'm going to let you find at least one or two people right now, and I want you to go over there, and I want you to hug that person, and I want you to pray for that person, and I want the power of the Holy Spirit to be over you inside their life. Come on, I want you to pray. I want you to praise God right now as they're praying for somebody, and they're letting the power. Two young men full of the power of the Holy Spirit are letting themselves be used with somebody else. Come on, can somebody say miracle? Somebody say pour it out. Somebody, thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
somebody,
Lord.
Say miracle.
Miracle.
Pour it out.
Pour it out.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank
all right,
you,
now
Lord.
Stop. All right. Now here's the best part. Here's the best part. I want you to close your eyes and bow your heads. And with your eyes closed and your heads bowed, I want you to listen to me all the way home or in this room before you go home. John chapter 14 verse 12 says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have. Listen, I'm ministering to you right now. Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these. Because I am going to the Father, but I'm sending the Holy Spirit. Oh God, I need you right now. When you call that out. And you ask the Holy Spirit to come upon you, I believe something's going to happen. I'm going to take the next 5 minutes to prophesy over you, Ezekiel 37:14. The Bible says, I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. There is something you've been missing. Mama, I'm coming for you. Somebody here wants the baptism of the Holy Spirit over their life. Somebody here wants to start using that power. You've always felt it inside of you, but you want to use it. Now, I can't go lay hands on every single one of you, but I will lift my hands up from the altar. If you're in this room and you're saying, Pastor, I have never been taught this lesson the way it is today. I don't want to just stand here on the sideline. Pastor, I want the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon me and fall on me. I'm going to pray for you right now. If you're here and you say, I am a believer in Christ, but I need, Pastor, I need the power of the Spirit over my life. I'm struggling with something, and I know I've been feeling it inside. I don't want to continue the same. I want to tell Jesus, I need you. Are you ready for the breakthrough? This is the moment. Remember January. Remember this day when the power of the Holy Spirit poured upon you and your marriage and your children and your petition and your prayer request. I'm going to come in agreement for you for a miracle that starts right now. But I want you to pray that the power of the Holy Ghost fall upon you, and that after today you will honor Him in everything you do, and you're getting ready for a supernatural move of God. And if you're getting ready for that supernatural move of God in your life right there in this extended version of a service, I want you to start First Fruit Week throwing your hands up in the air and saying, God, you're speaking into my life. I'm ready, and I want the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost, come and baptize me right now. Come upon my life. Come upon my ministry. Come upon my work. Come upon my business. Come down, Holy Spirit. Come upon my children. Holy Spirit, blow, 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 blow. Just blow over my life. Throw both hands in the air. Don't be ashamed. That young man was not ashamed of being in the water. Don't be ashamed. Just throw him in the air real high, 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 real high. Now with them raised, as we sing this song from the beginning, as we sing this song, I want you to be able to go into this chorus, this one part. But I want you to do it with your hands raised, and I'm going to do something different today. And right there, I'll end the service in prayer. This week, I'll teach you First Fruits online, and I'll be here back next Sunday with baptism, and we're going to talk about the last topic of the Holy Spirit. But with your hands raised, if you're ready to walk with the giants in the Old Testament that received the power of the Holy Spirit, then you do the same thing right now. Pastor, how do I do it? As the song progresses, again, I want you to jump out of your seat and come down to the altar as the song is sang. I want you to believe God for that. Come down with your hands raised. Come down with one hand raised. That's it. Just get close. I want it. Come close. Come close. I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to pray over you. Come on. Look at your neighbor and say, excuse me. That's it. You got to get closer. It's filling up. Keep your hands raised. Look at the lyrics and sing it with me if you have to, up on the altar with your hands raised. That's it. That's it. I want the power of the Holy Spirit over my life, Pastor. I want the power. I want it. I want it over my life. I need it, Jesus. I need it. I need it. The way you were with Mary, the way you were with Joseph, God.
Oh, God, my God, I need you.
Yes.
Oh, God, my God, I need you.
That's powerful. Sing it out to God.
How I need you now. Yes, we do.
Oh, rock.
Oh, rock, oh, rock.
Outstanding.
I'm standing on your faithfulness.
Your faithfulness.
On your faithfulness.
Every woman in this room, I want you to sing, all females. Females, sing with Mike.
I'm calling on the God of Mary.
All the women, come on, sing it out. Whose favor?
Whose favor rests upon the
every
lowly.
Mama, every young lady in this room.
Oh, I know with you all things are possible.
Every man.
I'm calling on the God of David.
All the men, shout out, who made a shepherd boy?
Courageous.
I may not face Goliath.
But
everybody, here we go, church.
Oh, God, my God, I need you. Oh, God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now.
Oh, rock of ages.
Standing on your faithfulness.
Your faithfulness.
On your faithfulness.
Shout it out with me and call out.
Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now.
Oh rock of ages. Lower your hands. I'm going to pray over you. Almighty Father, powerful God, I come before you right now. And as the apostles did with the disciples, I believe today, this day, January, this Sunday, will never be forgotten in iChurch. It's the Sunday that we surrender to stop in our own understanding doctrinally. We want the baptism of the Holy Spirit to be present in this church every single day. As a pastor, I lead the flock, and I ask them, God, to be able to see a broken pastor believing that he was sent from Puerto Rico, taken out of the mission field and brought here, because there's a generation of believers that don't just want to play church. They want to believe in the power of your Holy Spirit. And if you, Jesus, if you honored the Holy Spirit, so shall we. We will honor him. And I pray that the baptism of the Holy Spirit be evident in my life and everything I do. I pray that the gifts of tongue, that the gifts of prophecy, that the gifts of miracle, the gifts of healing be given right now over those that are calling out for it. I pray for that mom I got you, Mom. I got you. I got you, Mom. That's why God brought you here. You thought He brought you. He didn't bring you. God brought you. He's got you. I got some believers, some worshipers in the crowd right now. You have felt for so long that there's so much power inside of you. But you're like, Pastor, it wasn't flowing. I pray right now that the baptism of the Holy Spirit fall upon you and the power of God come upon you in a supernatural way. That when you walk out of this room, you will know that God did the work. That you will be able to call upon that God. That you will be able to know. And you will be able to say, come and fill us again. You'll be able to say, come and fill us again. You'll be able to say it because you know that the filling of the Holy Spirit is enough. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray the Spirit fall on you. Call on it with us. Say it to God, come and fill me again.
Come and fill me.
Two more times. Come on.
Almighty River, come and fill me again.
Say it with me.
Come and fill me again.
Come and fill me again.
Come and fill me again.
Come and fill me again. Last time.
Come and fill me again.
Anybody got a word? Did you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in this house? Come on, man. I love you. I bless you. The power of God over you. Get ready. 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 I see you next Sunday in the house of God. God bless you, church. Thank you for being in iChurch. Have a blessed week. I see you next Sunday.
What an amazing service. Did you enjoy the empowerment series? I want to challenge you, though. I know that a lot of times we forget our online audience. If you felt God speaking to you, if you need prayer, if you need more information on baptism, just go ahead and message me directly. My name is Jacob Craig. I'm your online shepherd. And if you don't feel comfortable talking to me, maybe you're a female, I could connect you to another shepherd as well. We want to make sure that you get the care that you need, even if you can't be physically in the building. If you are in the Hickory area in the next week, I want to invite you to our baptism service. It is going to be phenomenal. I cannot wait to see all the lives that are changed. And even if you can't, we'll see you next week right here through the lens. Last thing is we're getting ready to start our First Fruits week, and I want you to be a part of it as well. I want you to connect online. I want you to have the opportunity to give if the Lord leads you to. We want you to be a part of iChurch family as well. Thank you so much for connecting. Thank you for all you do for the kingdom. In Jesus' name, see you next week.